You know, I think too many Catholics are like the rich man in the gospel today. We want to be saved. We want to enter into that salvation promised by Christ. So we more or less follow the commandments. We don't steal. We don't bear false witness. We don't murder. We don't do any of these things that we are commanded against in the Ten Commandments. We might even say that we're good people. But like the rich man, too many Catholics cannot or will not commit to following Jesus. The rich man was unwilling to follow Jesus. And because, as our Lord said, you are lacking in one thing. The rich man and many Catholics, and I would say in our world today, are lacking in faith. They are unwilling to give up anything for him, unwilling to have that faith that can trust that if we give everything up for our Lord, that he will reward us. These Catholics are unwilling to make our Lord the center of their lives. Now, when we talk about having faith, and we talk about faith in general, I think we usually use it in the sense of the teachings of the Catholic Church. When we say the Catholic faith, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about those teachings that have been passed down through the Church from our Lord for 2,000 years. And in a sense, that's part of faith. But that's not what the Church means when it uses the word faith. The Catechism defines faith as: faith is, first of all, a personal adherence of man to God. At the same time, and inseparably, it is a free assent to the whole truth that God has revealed. Faith is man's response to God. We know that God loves us unconditionally. He puts no condition on his love, and that he wants to enter into a relationship with us. That's why, by the way, God revealed himself as Father and not just Creator. Creator is what God did for us. He created us. Father is the relationship that he wants to have with us, the relationship of a father with his children. Faith is our returning God's love back to him, giving love back to him, and entering into that relationship that God wants to have with us without reservation. Just as God wants to have that relationship with us without reservation, he wants us to enter into that relationship without reservation. As I've said, the teachings are a part of that faith, a part of that relationship. The Catholic Church is the caretaker of the revealed truth, what our Lord Jesus Christ revealed as truth 2,000 years ago, the Church passes on through her teachings over 2,000 years. As part of our relationship with God, our faith in God, we willingly and freely choose to follow those teachings. Now, we're not coerced. We're not forced. The Catholic Church isn't going to send someone to your door to make sure you're following the Church's teaching. We do so willingly. We do so openly. Now, when we talk about learning the faith, we're not talking about merely book knowledge. We're not talking about taking those teachings and cramming them in our heads. We're talking about developing and growing our relationship with Christ. And we do so by spending time with him. Now, let me ask husbands here. If you were to go to your wife and say, "Honey, I love you. I think the world of you. I want to have a strong relationship with you. But you know, I'm pretty busy. I got a lot of things going on, so I can only spend 1 hour a week with you." Husbands, how do you think that conversation is going to go? How long do you think your cheek is going to hurt after she's done slapping you? That's not going to work too well. The relationship between a husband and wife takes a lot more than 1 hour a week. And the wife should be mad if a husband says that. Well, our relationship with our Lord should take more than 1 hour a week or less for those who don't come to Mass every week. We need to take time every day and spend with our Lord in prayer. Every day, not once a week or less. The Catechism, quoting St. John Damascene, who is one of the great preachers and doctors of the Church, tells us that prayer is the raising of one's mind and heart to God, or the requesting of good things to God. Another way you may have heard it is prayer is our conversation with God. It's us raising our mind and heart, talking to God, and then listening for His response, being open to His response to us. This is how we nurture our relationship with God. This is how we grow and develop our faith. Then once we have done that, once we have entered into prayer, then we can seek to know and understand the teachings of the Church. Again, to understand the teachings of the Church are not book knowledge. They're not just information. They need to influence our lives. What we need to do is, in the words of the first reading from the Book of Wisdom, plead for the Spirit of wisdom to come upon us. We need to pray before we do anything with the teachings of the Church, that the Holy Spirit will come down upon us and aid us in understanding and living those teachings. Because those teachings need to influence our lives. What we hear and read needs to become a part of us. Whether it's the CDs that we have in the back, a homily, a presentation, or to read the catechism. When we hear or read the teachings of the Church, that needs to become a part of us and not merely remain in our brains. Not merely remain something that you can quote on Jeopardy if you ever end up on that show. It needs to become part of our lives. And that's where I think most Catholics stumble. That's where they kind of, wait a minute. We don't want to change. We don't want these teachings to influence, because suddenly behaviors that we might like, things we do that we might enjoy, we might have to give up or curtail at least. We don't want to do that. But if we have a living faith, it will challenge our beliefs. It will challenge how we live our lives. It will challenge our actions. And most importantly, it will challenge our relationship with God, with others, and with ourselves. A living faith will challenge every aspect of our lives. And that's something I think a lot of Catholics don't want to face. But a living faith is beautiful, it's exciting, it's energizing, it's life-giving, it's interesting, it's challenging, it's difficult, it's countercultural, because our Lord is all of those. As the first reading says, or the second reading, excuse me, indeed, the Word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. Now, if none of those words, none of those phrases that I used describes your faith, we have an opportunity now to change that, to allow our faith to become a living faith and not just something that's intellectual. Last Thursday, on October 11th, we entered into the Year of Faith. This is something Pope Benedict called for a year ago in a document called Porta Fide, the year or the door of faith. He's asked us to take a year, actually 13 months, and to deep down examine and develop and grow our faith. And he has given us the opportunity to do that in this Year of Faith. He tells us in this document, the Year of Faith is a summons to an authentic and renewed conversion to the Lord, the one Savior of the world. Pope Benedict tells us, to the extent that he freely cooperates, Man's thoughts and affections, mentality and conduct are slowly purified and transformed on a journey that is never completely finished in this life. This is why we need a year of faith, because the development of our faith is an ongoing, lifelong process, and many Catholics don't realize that. How many of you have heard something to the extent of confirmation is Catholic graduation? How many of you have thought that or think that? I hate to break it to you, that's not the case. Confirmation was not the end of growing your faith, it's the beginning. It's like saying that you ran a marathon by running up to the start line and then stopping. Oh, I ran the marathon, I got to the start line. No, you didn't. Your Catholic faith must be growing. A faith is not lived. It is not a living faith if it is not constantly growing. As Catholics, we are called in this year of faith to learn our faith, to live our faith, and to share our faith. As Pope Benedict tells us, faith grows when it is lived as an experience of love received and when it is communicated as an experience of grace and joy. We want this year to arouse in every believer the aspiration to profess the faith in fullness and with renewed conviction, with confidence and hope. It will also be a good opportunity to intensify the celebration of the faith in the liturgy, especially in the Eucharist. At the same time, we make it our prayer that believers' witness of life may grow in credibility. So our challenge for us this year is to take advantage of these opportunities. Pope Benedict says, to rediscover the content of the faith that is professed, celebrated, lived, and prayed, and to reflect on the act of faith is a task that every believer must make his own, especially in the course of this year. So our challenge is to take advantage of the activities and resources that are available to us for prayer and learning. And I personally am going to make it my goal this year to have as many things available, whether it is missions, talks, books, prayer guides, you name it. I want to make this a year that we can grow and develop in our faith, both as a community and as individuals. So I encourage you to take advantage of these opportunities to make the faith your own, to grow and live it. So the challenge for us in this year of faith is not to be like the rich man who was lacking in only one thing, faith in Christ, but to be like Peter and the apostles, who gave up everything and followed him, and to enter into that relationship with God, enter into that faith.